Breaking news today on Seculo is the Department of Justice is harassing Trump allies over the 2020 elections. Search warrants, subpoenas. We'll talk about all of it today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to make sure you're getting the news in our country as well, because so much of the news is it's maybe breaking in a second on this stuff, and then it's going right back to whatever's happening with the Queen's funeral and those different arrangements. But we've had, just in the last 24 hours, over 30 folks associated with President Trump subpoenaed by grand jury over different issues involving the 2020 election. Also, there have been search warrants, phones seized. So you think about the harassment level. It's not just the President of the United States. He's a tough guy. You know, he can handle a lot of this. But now you've got all the people surrounding him currently who are getting those subpoenas too. So they're kind of taking out his team one by one. And this time in mass, Dad. And when you get these subpoenas and you're leading a legal effort for the president, your phone seized, as one of those attorneys had two phones seized, makes it a lot tougher to do your job for the president.
Well, look, I mean, let's put in perspective what happened here. First, you had the Department of Justice executed upwards of at least 30 subpoenas. That means we are subpoenaing your records. We want your information. We want your testimony. We want to discuss with you, you know, the situation probably surrounding January 6th or possibly the certification of the election. Then the next thing is the step up from a subpoena is a search warrant. For instance, reports are that Boris Epstein, who was is a lawyer and primarily, I think, coordinating President Trump's response, the former president's response to all of these investigations, the government showed up with a subpoena, but they also showed up with a search warrant and said, give us your phone. They take the phone and then they download. What they do is basically mirror the phone. They download the phone. Now, that did not happen just to Boris Epstein. Reports are that it's two other people that were high up. It seems to be focusing on this whole electors issue, but you've got to understand that we are within the 60-day window. The general election, the midterm elections are, 58 days out?
Yeah.
Today? We're 60 today, technically.
Yeah, I mean, we're within that window, which, again, is a policy. It's not a law. So that policy seems to have gone out the door when it comes to President Trump. Surprise, surprise. He gets treated and his allies get treated totally different. I think this is the problem with the whole justice system right now, is that in the past, people like this involved in politics would be treated differently by the DOJ based off their policies. This time around, it's why you can't write off anybody being indicted or arrested or their home with a search warrant or a raid, whatever you want to call it, because it seems like the rule book is out the window.
Well, I do think that's the case. C.C. Hauser is one of our senior attorneys. And when you move from a voluntary come in and talk or voluntary discussion to a subpoena and then to a search warrant, this situation has escalated. There's no question about that.
Yeah, absolutely. They've upped their targets, and they're definitely targeting all of Trump's allies, which obviously then will, you know, limit who wants to be a Trump ally. I mean, they're weaponizing the DOJ against Trump or now anybody who is
be careful.
Yes, because who's remotely related to Trump.
Yeah, I mean, because one thing I don't understand that happened is some lawyers, I'm not going to name the two, certified something to the Department of Justice regarding lack of classified documents still remaining, which ended up apparently to be incorrect. And that's the kind of mistake you make that could have consequences. So I think what's happening is they are targeting the people around the former president that were there at the end or that are currently there now. And, you know, that's where this is focused. But they've upped the ante, the Department of Justice, when you go, what CeCe said, when you go from a voluntary come in and talk to a person versus here's a subpoena and give me your phone.
Yeah. So, folks, we want to take your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110, the harassment level just increasing as we get close to a midterm election of, as CeCe said, anyone who surrounds himself with the president, which I think is the feeling they want to get across. Do you feel that way? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. We'll be right back. welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. There's 1-800-684-3110. So again, talk about this harassment level, because over 30 people associated with President Trump, a lot of attorneys as well, some current, some former, a lot, of course, related to various issues. So it's not just the election. It's not just the electors. It's not, some is January 6th. Some is, you know, it goes through the whole list of possibilities. But what you see is this coordinated effort by DOJ and FBI. What I think they're trying to do, the bigger picture, is not just to squeeze the president, but it's to make it where he has no close staff.
Right.
So, or your close staff is so distracted by their own legal issues. So, I mean, if you just had your phones taken away and you were the person directing the legal effort for the president on the Mar-a-Lago raid, now you got to get new phones. You got the FBI's got your phones. You're worried about that. And you're supposed to be handling something for a former president of the United States. That's not easy to balance.
Well, you got to look at it also, and you got to look at it globally in the context of how many cases are pending. So you look at what the former president's dealing with right now. You've got the stuff going on in New York. He's got a trial of his company starting October 24th, no extensions. The judge said yesterday, no extensions, it's going to trial. So you've got that going on. You've got a New York attorney general that's still doing a civil investigation. You got a Fulton County DA that's focused on his former allies. And the people, this again, focusing generally on what took place at the end of the election cycle, which was, you know, by then it was November into December and January 2020, 2021. And then you've got the Fulton County District Attorney. There are at least that we know of, Jordan, three grand juries in Washington, D.C., one on January 6th, one on document on this elector issue, and one on some of this finance stuff that now they're focusing on. Then you have yesterday, and this is a bit, or in the last 48 hours, you have 30 subpoenas executed. There was initially a statement that was 30 searches executed, which would have been unprecedented. I mean, that would be like a huge mob hit. That did not happen. But 30 subpoenas were executed, and at least two search warrants for phones, including, as you said, phones of one of his lawyers now, and one of the other people that I think that assist him. So you look at what's going on here. You're talking about the distraction factor. Well, all of these people are having to hire lawyers. So, you know, CC, the Department of Justice decided to up the ante here.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, you said yes, it is for some limited matters like the January 6th issue, like the election issue. However, it's sending a much broader message, yeah, which I think is their intent, that truthfully, like Jordan has said, and we've discussed, anybody who is involved or related to former President Trump, they have to be somewhat concerned and scared. And I think it is a message to intimidate those people.
Look, I mean, it's Jordan and I represented, as you know, the former president for 4 years. And we were very careful on how we did our representation. What happened here at the end, I think, was, and I'm not saying that anybody, I'm not accusing anybody of criminal conduct, by the way, but I think things got a little bit sloppy as far as nobody was coordinating what was going on. So what you have is the government sees a vulnerability. Remember Jim Comey sending in sending in the FBI on General Flynn? Why? Because he saw that there were openings within the Department of Justice. That, in other words, in the White House, they weren't organized yet. I think it's the same thing right here. I really do. And now, like you said, if everybody's worrying about themselves, which is totally understandable in a situation like this, it's going to have repercussions for the former president too. Don't kid yourself. So they have. Look, this 60 days out from a midterm doesn't seem to be stopping anything right now, Jordan.
No, it doesn't. And I think that it's an attempt to scare away independent voters. I don't know that they really much exist anymore, but, you know, voters who are somewhere in the middle, who even lean conservative. It's trying to scare them away. It says, you know what, if you back these Trump kind of candidates, this is the chaos. Except for the chaos is coming from the Department of Justice and FBI and the way they're conducting this 2 years out, right up until the election. But theming wise, it's, do you want to hear these stories, you know, over and over and over again? Because this is their theme. This is what you're going to get with Donald Trump, and this is what you get with Donald Trump's candidates.
Too much
as well.
Drama. That's what the people. That's
nonstop drama about issues, not inflation, not about abortion restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, the stock market's down almost 1,000 points today, yeah, which we're going to talk about, because that's important for people to understand. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, because people are calling on this.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. 1310. Suzanne in Idaho, online one. Hey, Suzanne.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is probably pretty broad, but I'm just a really concerned citizen, and I'm seeing every day all of this criminal activity to Trump, to the citizens, everywhere across America. A lot of it's being done and exposed. Career politicians are part of this, and I just don't understand how the Constitution is protecting us at this point. I want it to. I'm just deeply concerned that how did we get to this place? How are these people in high places allowed to do this? How is that happening?
Well, you've seen a weaponization of these agencies. By the way, it wasn't just the Department of Justice. I'll go all the way back to the litigation that we were involved in against the IRS. And in the course of discovery in our case, we determined that we through an email exchange, that there was emails from the head of the tax-exempt division to others saying, hey, let's get the IRS, DOJ, FEC involved, and let's see if we can bring a criminal case. You're talking about weaponization of an agency. They're not saying that they had a criminal case. Let's see if we could find one, and that'll stop all these groups from doing what they're doing. That was that's not something we're just coming up with as a theory. That, CC, was in the discovery that we got in the case.
Right, and that was the IRS targeting conservative, mainly Christian nonprofits and their tax-exempt status. And we were able to expose that and actually win in that case. But that is just one of, you know, what the caller was talking about, just the corruption that's in our government. We're fighting daily against that with FOIAs and across the broad scheme of the administration. We're fighting that kind of criminal action.
Yeah, I want to go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to join us on the broadcast, again, just to reiterate, over 30 people associated with President Trump subpoenaed by various grand juries over different...
A lot of people we didn't even know.
Yeah, I mean, there's names on this list you might know. I'm not, you know, names that you wouldn't know. But overall, so because some were state-specific, some were more national. Not just subpoenas, though. Some people have had their phones seized as well. When you think about the big picture here, and you think about, you know, the president needing a team to rely on to deal with Mar-a-Lago, to deal with his current legal situations, and they start to squeeze on this team, you understand how this, again, in the politics of it too, which is these are criminals, these are bad actors, and this is how we're treating them, like criminals and bad actors.
So does it surprise you that they've gone and done this within the 60-day? Normally the 60-day window, this is how it works, folks, 60 days out from an election. A national election. This would be the midterms. They usually don't take action. They go quiet for the quiet period, we used to call it. That appears to not be the case anymore.
Yeah, I think that's all gone out the window. I think it's Trump derangement syndrome has changed everything in how Washington reacts. And so the way they react to Donald Trump is so different. So that whatever policies were in place or procedures in place, it's like the waiving of the executive privilege by Joe Biden. This was just a norm. And these norms have gone out the window. And I think that is the serious harm long-term to the presidency and to the country is not even about, you know, Donald Trump. It's about the fact that if you have current presidents waiving former presidents' privilege claims and their ability to raise privilege as an issue, well, then that could happen to Joe Biden, too, and then it could happen to the next president, too. And it becomes this very partisan issue, whereas... You know, we've allowed past presidents to move on. And even if they want to go back into the political process, it should be going back into the political process. And yet, I think they're kind of relitigating everything with Donald Trump over and over and over again.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I think that's correct. And
I think it's that theming of can you get the mobs out there to say, you know, this is
too much drama.
There's so many other serious issues that we can't have this drama.
Yeah, and I think following following certain rules and protocol that has been done for decades, that's just out the window when it comes to Trump.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think so, and I think what you said is right. And folks, just we're trying to give you the analysis here that matters. Obviously, you know, we're not handling these cases, so we don't know what the ins and outs. But they produce the drama, and then people start thinking, gee, do I want to get inflation under control? Because the stock market's down almost 1,000 points right now. Because the inflation number came out today, and it's 8.4%. Professor Harry Hutchinson will be joining us later in the broadcast. So there are real problems. And then the question is this just become too much to deal with? And boy, when you serve, when it, I mean, the headline is 30 subpoenas issued. That's a big headline. We're going to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. Talk about your podcast launch yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Our first episode is up at SeculoBrothers.com. So you can find out where, if you want to watch the broadcast, if you want to download on Spotify or Apple Podcast as well. You go to Seculo, S-E-K-U-L-O-W, Brothers.com. And we're actually, our second episode we'll do today. We haven't done that yet. We'll do that after this broadcast today. So that'll be up later on this afternoon as well. SeculoBrothers.com. So you can find out where to listen or watch. And we're having a lot of fun with the show. It's different than this broadcast. Very different than this broadcast. So you check it out this afternoon. Welcome back to Secular. We're taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So, you've had over 30 people associated with President Trump, a lot of attorneys, various issues, state issues, electors issues, January 6th issues, even some just about fundraising issues, rally issues, all coming out at the same time. So, in a coordinated effort, subpoenas. There were a couple of also phone seized, so there was some search warrants as well. And by people who are leading a lot of the defense efforts for President Trump post the Mar-a-Lago raid. So this, again, it hampers them and their opportunity to do their job because they've now got this concern to deal with. So I always say like this way, like President Trump can take a lot. He's got a serious amount of resources. He's been through it before. And I think it phases him a bit less. This is a different group of people. When you start hitting out the lawyers and the staff level folks,
yeah,
this is very economically damaging for them because you got a lawyer up and you don't know what's coming next. You don't know who's knocking on your door or going to raid your house at 6 in the morning.
No, look, I mean, I said this when they first...
It's a pretty stressful way to live.
When they executed the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago, I said this. I said, what comes after a search warrant? Usually... is down the road an arrest warrant. So here you had the raid that takes place under a search warrant that was executed by a judge that shouldn't have had the authority to execute it, shouldn't have recused himself. That motion, but they never made a motion, The lawyers didn't make a motion on that, so it's hard for me to judge. There was this question on whether the documents were classified or not. Well, there's not been a motion saying these documents were declassified by the president. That hasn't been brought up in court. They did get the ability to get a special master. Meanwhile, while the special master discussion is going on and they're negotiating who that could be, what happens? Shock of shocks, 30 subpoenas are issued, which is a lot, and 2 search warrants are executed. And they're executed on one of them is Boris Epstein, who is one of the president's main, I think, defense people here. So it tells you it's a lot. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. By the way, Lindsey Graham has just dropped a bill protecting pain-capable unborn children from late-term abortions. We just got the legislation, minutes ago. We will have an analysis of this on the broadcast tomorrow. So we will get into that tomorrow. This is legislation to stop even states from executing late-term abortion issues. So we'll get into that on tomorrow's broadcast. Meanwhile, we got a lot of calls coming in at 800-684-3110 because people are – this is up the ante. I mean, there's no question it is up the ante here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll start with Frederick in New York online too. Hey, Frederick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for the hard work you guys do. I just have a question. It sounds like some of the things that the DOJ – is doing are illegal. Who is watching the watchmen, and is there anything that can be done to stop them?
Well, the lawyers representing the president, which is not us, have to take that action. So they filed a special master motion. I mean, this is what I would have done. Once the search warrant was issued, I would have gone in to file a motion to quash that subpoena, that search warrant, because the judge had made the anti-Trump statements on his social media pages and had recused himself from a civil case involving the former president and the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. That should have been enough to say that judge doesn't get to make the decision about a search warrant of the former president's residence. But they didn't. That motion was not filed. So there's not been a pure Fourth Amendment challenge to this. So when you ask who watches the watchman, the defense lawyers, That's what defense lawyers do. You challenge the government's authority to execute. Now, they have challenged some of it, so I want to say that. But, you know, as far as these other subpoenas that are being issued, those individuals, like George said, and this is like death by a thousand cuts, because what happens is you've got now 30 people have been hit with subpoenas, most of which cannot afford the lawyers at the level of lawyer you would need to defend yourself in something like this. So this is serious.
That's a good point, too, as well. I mean, these are younger folks, also, you know, some state folks, not all Washington, D.C. folks. And
a lot of staffers.
Yeah, staff-level people who do not have the kind of resources to hire the mega firms or mega attorneys that would deal with the FBI or DOJ at this level. I mean, that's just the bottom line truth. And I think it continues to complicate what is an already very complicated situation, because it started off with pieces of paper and documents, and now it is leading into back to January 6th, back to electors,
financing,
electors, fundraising. So this is not all related to the Mar-a-Lago. I think pointing that out,
yes,
just multiple times is important. This is not 30 people got subpoenaed because of the raid at Mar-a-Lago.
No.
Is three or four other issues.
Well, because there's multiple grand juries investigating multiple issues. And what CeCe said earlier, which is worth repeating, is once they're in, they're in. And they can get information, and they're allowed to take that information to where it leads. Which is what's happening.
Absolutely. And that's the thing of, they saw this information. You know, now, even if you have a special master, they have that information. And we're seeing, again, they're broadening their message that if you stand up against the DOJ, if you're going to support or protect former President Trump, then the DOJ is going to target you now. And so that really is sending a message that people, I think, across the board are going to be scared and worried. Sure. About standing or supporting President Trump in any way.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, it's you talk about the chilling effect. I mean, the chilling effect is for real. If you're hit with a subpoena or a search warrant, and Boris Epstein, according to reports, who's one of the president's lead guys right now, got hit with not just a subpoena, but they said, you know, search warrant for your phone. We want to mirror your phone. So it's serious. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Do we have time to do this?
Yeah, we could do Ted's call from Oklahoma on line one. Hey, Ted.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the work you guys do.
Sure.
I wanted to ask a question similar to the previous caller.
Yep.
In a call before that, you referenced the IRS case.
Yes.
And talked about how you won that case.
Yep.
I have a question. What has to happen so that the wrongdoers, those that are violating the Constitution, get prosecuted?
Well, I mean, those are civil. We can't bring a criminal case against somebody as private lawyers. That's the government, state or federal. It's not the job of private lawyers. We sued the IRS for injunctive relief, saying that their process upon which they were evaluating the applications for exemption was not valid, was a violation of First Amendment rights, was unconstitutional, and we won. And an injunction was put in place that the government then, an order came in place saying, you can't do that anymore. That's got to stop. They changed their policies. Lois Lerner lost her position. We got a monetary damage in a companion case of multiple million dollars for our client, and the IRS had to change their internal procedures. This is different. This is the Department of Justice. It's going to be here. It's the private lawyers representing the individuals either subpoenaed or who are targets or subjects of the investigation. There's three levels of investigation here. You're either a witness, which means they think you've seen or have information about a potential criminal act. You are a subject, meaning we've seen some stuff that makes us concerned that you may have been involved in criminal activity, so that you're a subject of the investigation, or you're a target. And a target is, we think you're one of the main people. Usually the targets are the last one to get notified. So here's the question. Did this last round of subpoenas, of 30 subpoenas and a couple of search warrants, in addition to the search warrants that have already been executed, was that the moment that this was crystallized? We'll take your calls on this at 800-684-3110 when we get back. Don't forget secularbrothers.com.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have a new episode up today, and those are brand new. We'll do those in the afternoon. Should be up around 4 p.m. Eastern time around then. secularbrothers.com, though, if you want to sign up for the podcast, either on Apple Podcast or Spotify. We also put out the video of the podcast, just like this episode, same places you find that, secularbrothers.com. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Secretary Pompeo is going to be joining us as well in this second half hour of the broadcast. We'll get into a lot of different issues with him. One that's been leading the show so far, we haven't even gotten into some of the economic issues yet, which should be, you know, having, well, there is having a significant effect on the stock market, but also a significant effect on the election if this is where things go now, because the way you read it is very careful. It's like the July to July numbers was at 8.5% inflation, and now it's at 8.3. So it's that's August to August numbers, but it's the highest ever for consumer goods, the highest ever for food, still highest ever for gas. I mean, this idea that, you know, this 0.2, it's gone down. That's nothing really to celebrate. That's not significant when the Fed's goal is 2% inflation, and we're at
8.35, I think.
So it went from 8.5, yeah, to 8.5 to, I'll pull up the exact number, I think it was 8.3. We'll get into this a little bit more in the broadcast as well, because it's been dominated by, it went from 8.5 to 8.3.
Which is, it means it's really high. So we're looking at these subpoenas that have been issued, 30 of them. And that's just, by the way, the latest rounds against Trump allies. That's what they're calling it. And there's also search warrants that have been executed against Barr, Epstein, one other person, somebody I think that was involved with some of the election issues. So they have cast a very broad net. They have upped the ante significantly. And if you're a staff member for the former president that's dealing with this, you are greatly distracted right now because of this process.
Right. Absolutely. And it's a chilling effect on their effectiveness. And it's actually a chilling effect on anybody who would be related to the president. And truthfully, you think about all these staff members or even attorneys that now have to hire attorneys to represent them. I think even getting an attorney to represent you in is not going to be easy.
That's
because
correct.
Attorneys are not going to want to get involved in this.
Nope,
they're just not in this whole procedure. So they are definitely sending a broad message, and it is definitely having a chilling effect. Look, and who's it having a chilling effect? Trump and his allies, and they've been specific about
that. Let's be clear to follow up on what CeCe said. If you're a lawyer and you're asked to get involved in this representation right now, you're not going to do it most of the time. Why? Because when we were doing it, we controlled the cases and controlled the litigation. Apparently right now it's being done by, I have no idea because we're not involved in it, but it looks like it's being done by committee. And the committee is now got 30 subpoenas, including to some of the people that are running the committee of lawyers who are running this event or this situation. So I think what's happened is that the stakes are so high now and the aggressiveness of DOJ is so targeted that it effectively, I think, makes defense here very difficult, which is also a prosecutorial approach. You don't go after the old stories. You don't go after the king. You go after all the people around the king. Now, a former president's not even a president, and a former president's certainly not a king. But what you do is you go around them, and that's what's happening right now. And I think that's where you're seeing this kind of fallout. And these people are these staff people do not have the financial resources to cover the kind of lawyers you need for this kind of situation, which is, this is really serious.
Yeah, it is very serious. I mean, it's a number of people. It also makes it that much tougher for the president to interact, because once his people start getting hit, you got to wonder. I mean, you don't have to wonder. They're being distracted. You have to be a certain kind of person to be able to just take this and kind of move forward. And that's one thing if you've gotten to the level of Donald Trump. It's another thing if you're one of these younger folks and attorneys. So in a very different kind of feeling. So we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Secretary Pompeo is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. You don't want to miss that. Share this with your friends and family. And again, let me encourage you to check out secularbrothers.com. The podcast just launched yesterday. So the inaugural episode is up. It's got a lot more humor. It's a little slower paced. Still hitting big issues. We kind of see what happens in the afternoon as well. And sometimes issues that we don't even have time for, like on this broadcast. But it's in a totally different way, in a very different light. So we encourage you to check that out at secularbrothers.com. It's part of the Salem Podcast Network. That's secularbrothers.com. So if you're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, also we broadcast it out later on in the afternoon on our Facebook pages that you likely follow if you're watching this broadcast now. All right, we're joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, there's a lot of news to get to. I want to start with the border, because on Sunday, Vice President Harris did a sit-down interview on Meet the Press. Got asked the first tough questions from Chuck Todd. Didn't get a lot of follow-up, but she claimed in that interview, when she was asked about the southern border, that the border is secure. Those were her words, that the border is secure. I don't know where she's living or what news she's reporting. I mean, it seems every day we're hearing worse things about what kind of drugs are coming through the border, what cartels are utilizing the border. But how dangerous is that if our vice president truly believes this is the message for the American people, is everything is fine at the southern border, it's secure?
Trina, I don't think for a moment she believes the border is really secure. I think she is gaslighting us. I think she's trying to tell us what my mother would have called a whopper. A simpler explanation, she's lying. We all know the reality. We all know the reality of millions of people coming across that border in record numbers and in increasing numbers. She knows it too, and she used that moment with the world watching to tell the world a story that everyone can see with their own eyes. We don't have to guess. We don't have to imagine. This isn't about data analysis. This is about things we can see, and the risk to the United States is very real. The number of folks who are coming across on the terror watch list, the number of folks who are dragging fentanyl in that's destroying communities is enormously real, and you've got a vice president of the United States who has chosen not to go see it, not to go visit it, but rather tell the American people a fairy tale about our southern border being secured.
Mike, I said yesterday on the broadcast that when she says to Chuck Todd, our southern border is secured, I said, yeah, it's secured if your definition of secured is open borders, no restrictions, hundreds of thousands of people coming through, millions actually, and then you have sex trafficking and drug cartels basically controlling access. So if that's what they mean by secured, that's secure. But here's the problem, though. They're not offering a concrete solution for this. She, the vice president, is supposed to be, Mike, in charge of the border issue.
Jay, yeah, that's a very generous way to talk about how they might be defining it that way. I know you were doing that tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
Because the reality is, any common sense understanding of any notion of security, security for the American people, is refuted by the reality on the ground. She is in charge of it. We all remember it's been a number of months. She went down to Central America to try and solve the, quote, root cause of this migration. Well, the root cause of them being allowed to come into the border is that, frankly, the progressive part of the Democrat Party likes this. They like open borders. They're happy with this non-enforcement of this most basic premise of American sovereignty. I think Vice President Harris is in exactly that part of her party, and she does see this. She sees this as sufficiently secure. This is accomplishing her mission. They have no intention of fixing what is really dangerous, not just for Arizonans and Californians and Texas, but people all across America.
You know, the White House, we got the inflation numbers out, and because they're down 0.2% from the July to July to August numbers, the White House said, and President Biden just tweeted, actually, today's data shows progress in fighting inflation. The numbers we pulled, the food at home inflation's up 13.5%. That's the largest since 1979. Rents up 6.7% the past year. That's the largest since 1986. Electricity up 15.8%, the largest since 1981. Health insurance up 24.3%, the largest ever. So this idea, we talked about gaslighting, but they're going to have an event at the White House celebrating their, quote, Inflation Reduction Act today, and inflation is not being reduced.
Here's the good news. I've been out traveling the country. The American people can see this. The American people aren't being fooled by the Inflation Reduction Act or a presidential tweet or some narrative that somehow the fact that inflation's gone from 10 to 9 to 8 is a good thing for them. They can see they can't afford to fill the car up. The cost to heat their home this winter is going to be staggering. If they're a Kansas farmer, their fertilizer prices are through the roof. And that inflation is touching every American family. And that's what we should remember. This is not something you can tell the American people a story about because they are living and suffering from the catastrophe that has been the Biden administration's economic policy.
I want to take a call on line two because I think while we have the secretary here, this is, and he's been traveling around the country and we've been talking to people around the country as well. This would be a really good, really good point to ask.
Yeah, Ivy in Texas, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Hey, listen, my question is about the Senate and the Congress.
Yep.
That even if we win in November, couldn't Biden just veto everything that they set forth?
Okay, so this is a great question, and that is if the Republicans get the House and the Senate back, and then the president just starts vetoing everything. Well, that's not so easy to do because there's some of this can be continuing resolutions on funding. But I wanted to get your sense. You've been out, we've been out. What's your sense on where we are right now politically? I know you've been out with a lot of candidates. But let's talk about the House first, and then we'll talk about the Senate.
Look, there's always work to do until we cross the finish line in the first week in November. So we should never take anything for granted. But I will tell you, people are concerned. They are anxious. They understand that the fact that gasoline costs so much, the fact that there's not food on the shelves, this isn't Vladimir Putin's problem. It's not Donald Trump's problem. I'm trying to think of all the people that Biden blamed for this. This is a direct result of the decisions that Senator Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and President Biden foisted on the American people, and I am very confident the House of Representatives will change control as long as we continue to work on the things that matter for the American people and present real solutions. We have them. We know them. We'll get it right, and I think voters will recognize that.
You served in the House of Representatives, so you understand that. Now, the Senate, much closer races. It takes a lot to get that shift. What's your view on where we are there?
I'm still confident. I think we're going to do great. I was down in Georgia, I guess it was Friday of last week. I'm headed back out to help a couple Senate candidates a couple weeks from now. It still feels like the American people can see through. Someone like a Fetterman or someone like Raphael Warnock, Senator Warnock down in Georgia, the American people can see these people are part of the problem. They are part of the Schumer, Pelosi, Biden team. They vote with them 100% of the time or 98% of the time. They'll go home and tell people they're like them. But the truth of the matter is these are progressives, and people understand that progressives are destroying the things that matter, whether it's religious freedom or the way our kids are taught in schools or the cost of things, crime. The list is long. People can see what the progressives have brought to America. And I'm confident when they start focusing here as we move into the fall and everyone settles into really focusing on the election that we'll win enough Senate races to get to 51 or 52 seats. And then we'll have the ability to at the very least, stop much of what President Biden intends to do.
Yep. Sounds good to me. Secretary Pompeo, it's always great to have you on the broadcast as our senior counsel for global affairs. I like that optimism because, again, you can be in these bubbles and see the news, see the polls, but what is good about Secretary Pompeo and Rick's doing this too, they are out. I mean, almost every week, or they are out
talking to people, obviously,
and
from around the country every day.
They're getting on the ground. They're getting into battleground states that you don't always travel to, and seeing different regions of those states as well, and talking to the actual voters themselves about what they're paying attention to. And you know what everybody's paying attention to? It's the economy.
Yep. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment of the broadcast. Let's go ahead and take a call, 1-800-684-31. Let's take call on line one.
Hey, Joy, calling from Michigan. Hey, Joy, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question goes back in regards to those subpoenas against the Trump attorneys and staff members. If those subpoenas are based on the information taken from Mar-a-Lago, the attorney-client confidential ones, wouldn't those be illegal to use against them?
Well, if it's attorney-client, they can't be used against them. But Jordan made a very important point, and I think he needs to reiterate it. There's no indication that the subsequent subpoenas that you saw issued in the last few days, the 30 of them, had anything at all to do with classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. It does not appear that is what these subpoenas are about.
Everything else. So, yes. I mean, it goes back to
January 6th.
January 6th, electors, so even pre-January 6th, you've got the fundraising issues at play. A lot of those related to the rally on January 6th and the electors issue.
And some of the lawyers were putting forward this alternative slate of electors idea, which, you know, I came out and said early on, I did not find that to be the way the Constitution is set up, that you do that. I mean, I didn't think there was a legal basis for that.
It's weird to criminalize ideas.
To criminalize that is a different story. So, I mean, I thought it was legally incorrect. I think the vice president's role was ceremonial, and that is open the envelopes, count. But then to turn a legal theory about the election law of 1876 into a criminal act, that is a big jump. But there's grand juries on all of this stuff for these people that are having to deal with, and that makes it very complicated for these folks.
Yeah, I mean, not hard to get these indictments coming out of grand juries.
No.
And we have time. No, we'll go back. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from this break. We're going to get to more of the economic issues. So the inflation numbers out. White House tried to celebrate. This is when it gets, you know, goofy. Weird. Washington to 8.5 to 8.3.
The stock market's down 900 points.
Yeah. That's the real indicator of how people feel. Not a White House celebration of their Inflation Reduction Act, which when Joe Manchin was asked about it, said it doesn't actually reduce, you know, inflation. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the show. Remember, SeculoBrothers.com. I really encourage you to check it out. I think even if you listen to this broadcast daily, you will find we'll talk about different issues, definitely different perspective on the issues, a lot lighter, a different tone. So SeculoBrothers.com, you can learn where to get the podcast. Just launched yesterday. First episode's up. Second episode will be up this afternoon. That's at SeculoBrothers.com. It's part of the Salem Podcast Network. Inflation, folks, the year over year. So July to July was 8.5% just overall consumer price index.
Good news, though.
It's at 8.3.
Yeah, big drop August with all August. The stuff they've done. Yeah, August. Yeah.
But when you start looking at the specific numbers.
Oof, breathtaking.
Yes, just how high. Just food at home, up 13.5% the past year. That's the largest since the 1979 crisis of Jimmy Carter.
Rents up 6.7% just in the last year. Electricity, 15.8%. Health insurance, which is something you always, listen, that affects employers and employees, 24.3%, the largest increase ever. So these are staggering numbers. Joining us in the studio is our director of policy and also law and economics professor, Professor Harry Hutchinson. All right, Harry, these numbers are breathtaking. It's affecting the American people. We ordered groceries the other day, and Pam and I were saying these numbers are I think like Cool Whip or one of the, you know, was like $9. So this is impacting really impacting people seriously.
Absolutely. So what we are seeing, if you will, is a transfer of wealth from the middle and the lower classes to the government and to the parties that are favored by the government. So over the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen a transfer of wealth from the lower classes and the middle classes to the wealthy. And it's been the highest in human history. This now continues, and we now have the potential storm of both inflation and a potential recession, which will be on the horizon perhaps 5 to 6 months on. Meanwhile, President Biden is celebrating the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. They're having a gala today at 3 p.m. He just sent out a tweet. So while Biden is celebrating, the American people continue to suffer. And if you look at the specifics, let's focus initially on energy. So what are we doing with respect to energy? First, we've given up energy independence. Secondly, we've encouraged, if you will, the Ukrainians to stand strong against Russia. What does that mean from a U.S. policy standpoint? We have imposed sanctions on Russia, and now Russia has decided to return the favor by cutting back natural gas production and They are also cutting off
gas production will affect the heating costs for American citizens.
Absolutely, because the Biden administration, in an attempt to ameliorate the consequences of its policy, it is sending natural gas to Europe, liquefied natural gas to Europe. So we should expect a small explosion, perhaps a large one, in natural gas prices in the United States. So that will drive up heating costs down the road.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Patricia in Virginia on line five. Hey, Patricia.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I've heard you guys talking about, you know, the shortage of food in the stores and everything, but I haven't heard anyone mention the shortage of prescription medications. Yep. Like in my case, I have a son with epilepsy, and I've been waiting almost 3 months for his emergency seizure medication that's been on back order. So this is like another thing that is like really, you know, and it's life-threatening, so it's not like it's just food.
No, and we have discussed it. And listen, this is a real problem, but here's part of the problem. You know where a lot of these medications come from? I hate to say this. They're coming out of China. A lot of the manufacturing is done in China. And a lot of the antibiotics are coming out of China. And Harry, the situation with China is tense right now as well. It's another one where that tension is causing people like Patricia to have problems getting basic medication for her family.
I think you're precisely correct. And to complicate matters, of course, the Biden administration is asleep at the switch. They have failed to anticipate, for instance, the baby formula shortage problem. They have failed to anticipate the explosion, for instance, in gasoline prices. And they have failed to lessen our dependency on China, which is an unreliable supplier.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Tara in New York on line three. Hey, Tara.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just want to make a quick comment concerning the things going on with Trump with the subpoenas and all. You know, I really think this is more, it's more than just about Trump. It's about making people afraid to speak out, afraid to even share your video. And I want to encourage people, we need to get out and vote. We need to get out there because if they win, you know, who aren't they going to come out, you know, come after?
So yeah, they're going to go after as many people as they need to try and make you feel exactly like what you said, Tara, that people second guess sharing a video,
exactly.
Second guess talking to their friends about an issue or putting a sticker on your car or a yard sign up. And right now it's not President Trump who's on the ballot, but for these other candidates who might be associated with him, because it looks like, hey, if you're too close to President Trump, and how far out they draw that net, the further out they draw it,
and they're drawing out pretty far,
the more people get concerned.
So what's interesting about that, and I'm wondering,
I hate to attempt to voter suppression in a sense, because what you do is you are trying to implicate, in a sense, all these people as criminals.
Yes.
And then you're telling the midterm election voter, these are all bad people.
Yeah. So, you know, Harry, we talked about this before we went on air. When you have this kind of broad-based approach and you got multiple grand juries going on and 30 subpoenas executed in a day, multiple search warrants, 20 or 30 subpoenas a couple of weeks back, there is a chilling effect. I mean, I think the caller was spot on. I mean, there is a chilling effect on political speech, which is core speech protected by the First Amendment because people are afraid to speak out.
Absolutely, because they are afraid that they will be the next target. And so increasingly, the deep state and its allies are becoming more and more authoritarian. Yeah. And they're basically saying that you cannot have certain views, certain opinions. And if you do, you will be seen as an outlier. And I think we're seeing the results of some of that with respect to the DOJ and the FBI.
Yep. Let's take one more call.
All right. Which one do you want to do?
That's number four.
Let's go do Brian in Pennsylvania. Hey, Brian.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. I wonder if a lot of this has to do with the original insurance policy that the FBI and all had started.
You know, you're talking about the insurance policy when Strzok and Page were saying, you know, we're not going to let this guy win. Look, I think they are definitely trying to put a taste in the mouth, so to speak, or create an atmosphere where people say, I appreciate the policies of the former president, but the fact of the matter is there's just too much drama. Because this is a lot of drama. And I think the American populace is saying, when you look at it, is, you know, we like the policies, but do we want the drama? Is there a way to get the policies without the drama? I think there is a lot of that going on right now, Jordan, but you know politically more than I do on this.
Yeah, I think, listen, the ultimate, all this is all about, at the end of the day, the same bad actors in the FBI running amok with politics. They weren't gone with just Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok, and they had allies there, and you're seeing that. We've specifically talked about the whistleblowers who've come to Congress on this broadcast who've said they're purging out conservatives at the FBI. So that there's only one political viewpoint there, so you don't have that balance of taking politics out of law enforcement, which is exactly where it should be, out of law enforcement, no politics at all. But again, stay up to date, aclj.org. Check out Secular Brothers, our podcast, later on today.